Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, lovely people of podcast, internet, land, listening, however you're listening to this, thank you for choosing the Waypoint UK podcast over other podcasts which are available, because there are at least a dozen of them. My name's Mike Diver. You might know me from such places as Waypoint. I'm joined today by Simon Miller of several places.
Loads of places now. Too many places, I think, is the official term.
I can't count them.
Neither can I. Sometimes I don't even know who I'm working for anymore. But it's wonderful all the same.
You know where you are today, though. That's
I know
important.
Where I am today. That's all that matters. Day by day. And I take it from there.
We're in the London drizzle. And also Rob Leedham, editor of Stuff Magazine, has joined me.
Hello,
today.
How's it going?
Very good, thank you, Rob. Pleasure to have you on the podcast for the first time.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
I should say Simon was on last year. We were talking about...
Was it really a year ago?
It was about a year ago.
Man,
we were
terrifying.
Talking when Twilight Princess HD was coming out.
We did.
And there was some Breath of the Wild chat there as well, and what we wanted it to be. And lo, here we are recording
Can
this.
Can you believe it?
On the day that very game launches.
And we're all still alive, which is a massive plus.
We haven't been consumed in the nuclear fire.
Exactly.
We've lived long enough to see Nintendo once again
exactly.
chance its arm in the hardware market with something that's a little bit not like everyone else's thing.
Which is the best. That's why Nintendo will always rule the roost.
Yeah. Listener, you might well already get the gist of this. But yeah, it's Switch launch day. It's Zelda launch day. By the time you're listening to this, you might have even played a little bit. Got a little bit of the way in there, but we will avoid spoilers because I know I'm not all that deep into it. And Rob, you're a bit deeper into Zelda than I am.
Yeah, about 20 hours into it. But still, I feel like I've barely scratched the surface of
it. That's a good thing, isn't it?
Get distracted cooking, really.
In the game, not just at home.
Yeah, I thought you were just like, you know, I'm just going to cook something now and then come back to Zelda in a bit.
That would be good, though. I should try that, like, spicy peppers meal, I reckon.
Because Johnny at Eurogamer does a little thing where he cooks things from games. So surely he's been on the... Because Breath of the Wild, the cooking in Breath of the Wild, just diving into an aspect of it, is really great.
I don't even like mushrooms, but I'm obsessed with getting those sorted. It's nice. And just so much to talk about, but it's all really good, basically.
It's all really good, yeah. There is a cooking system in the new Zelda whereby Link will collect things. I know you haven't. You played a bit of it, Simon?
I played a good couple of hours of it,
yeah.
But I haven't really... I was on a special Nintendo secret, come in our house and have fun time.
Yeah.
You know those times.
I'm
Whereas I haven't actually
times,
sat down with it on my own. But again, when I do it, I'll have to disappear out of life for 5 days because I know when I start, that's it. But I've got a taste.
Yeah.
I can already tell that it's
wonderful. You'll like it. I mean, you can, accumulate quite a lot of protein and then cook it.
I like that.
And then cook it.
It's like my real life.
If anyone doesn't know, I appreciate podcasts are not a visual medium. Simon Miller is literally the biggest Zelda fan in the world. I think that's fair enough, right?
I'll take it.
Unless you've met any, physically.
Oh, I see. I'll take that too.
Metaphorically, all kinds of things. I know you're a big fan. But yeah, it's Link, he eats a lot of crazy stuff in there. You can throw in like bat wings and shit, and it gets a bit like... So even when you cook a bad meal, he'll still thrust it into his mouth.
He does a nice little belch afterwards.
Oh,
as well,
he doesn't like
really
it.
Pleasing.
When you make him do stuff he doesn't like. But anyway, yeah, he's our slave at the end of the day. he's the cipher through which we all explore Hyrule and the surrounding areas. I suppose, is it all Hyrule? I don't know, because he's a Hyrulean, isn't he?
Yeah, I think it is
Hyrule.
Because they've got the... I can't really. This was straight into
nearly spoilers. Did you know there were other races in Zelda? I think that's established. We know this.
Everyone must know that, because that's the whole point, isn't it? They basically, for the first time ever, have created a proper world as opposed to a hub world.
Yeah,
is what I would describe.
Well, yeah, like Skyward Sword was kind of all.
Yeah, and even that had a different species. So imagine they didn't put that in the proper world they created. That would be insane.
All of those fish people. That was just a dream, a fever dream.
Probably that you've been having for
100 years and so forth. That's known anyway. But kind of combining Zelda with the Switch as well, the hardware, which I've brought here, just to remind us of what it looks like.
It's lovely. I really like the look of that console, especially you've got the blue and the red Joy-Con.
It's got blue and red on it, which I understand if you buy the spare ones, they're the opposite ones. So you can have red or all blue on your Switch, which I don't know how I feel about that. It kind of ties into that kind of Nintendo. I hate the word quirky, but you know what I mean. That kind of like Nintendo-ness of like, yeah, we're going to have odd color controls. What are you going to do about it?
But it does look nice. Like, just looking at it now, it's a nice, sleek machine. And those colors do match up with each other.
You want to pick it up, basically, and use it, which is basically the whole point of it, isn't it?
Which is not something I really can say was the case like with the 3DS. No offense, which I love it a lot, but like it doesn't feel so good in the hand as this.
I mean, it's fine, isn't it? Yeah. Like, it's like GBA basically, just like times two, one like a kind of calzone, but
like a calzone. Like,
why are we dissing calzones?
I mean, like a Game Boy
calzone. I mean, don't diss a calzone. Which console is most like a calzone? If a 3DS is a calzone, like what's the carbon? What's a delicious carbonara?
Or
a
can
of
four.
Oh, a PS4.
No idea.
What's the cannelloni of the console world?
I don't really like cannelloni, so probably.
How can you not like cannelloni? Surely it all depends on what you put into it, Rob.
Well, if it's got spinach in it, then I'm not game for that.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah. You can get
revelations.
You don't want a bad batch of spinach in there right now.
Well, I don't know. How does this rank against the Wii U? I mean, I like the games which you could play on the Wii U.
I see how you've steered this back to proper conversation. It's good.
I've done this before, Mike. I don't know. It's just a lot better of a machine than the Wii U, isn't it, really? It had good games, that console, but...
It's got great games.
Yeah.
This is the thing. I mean, the Wii U will obviously go down in history as the one that didn't quite make it from a making Nintendo bags of money perspective. But I mean, when, you know, obviously when I went to meet you at reception, Simon, you were immediately saying, you know, you want to play this or you're going to play this on the Wii U.
I think to me it's more, because I'm going to get a Switch because I'm just a Nintendo fanboy. Let's not pretend I'm not. But to me, I mean, I'm not saying the Wii U didn't justify its price of entry, because I think it did. Like, there are some, like you just said, there are some amazing games.
The first party games and Bayonetta 2.
Yeah. And I liked Zombie U. I thought Zombie U was a good proof of concept.
Terrific launch title.
Exactly,
I end up having a brief conversation about how good a launch title Zombie U was with the creative lead of Yooka-Laylee
the other day.
We were just talking about like games to launch systems with, and like Zombie U really made use of the hardware.
Absolutely. It sold it. It sold it to you. But also to me, we'll call it a love affair with the Wii U needs to end with the game that I've been waiting for, you know,
since
722 years.
Out,
So that's the main reason. Also, it just, when Mario Kart 8 comes along, the deluxe, then I can justify, because by then I imagine I'll be up, because I'm a Zelda, you know, hardcore nut. Mm. So I'll play through it again. Then that gives me a reason to play through it again on the Switch.
On
plus
the
Mario Kart. Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of how I've justified it in my head. And it can just be a way to go, you know what, Wii U, we had our ups, we had our downs, but ultimately, apart from your weird dinner tray gamepad, you were actually
which
better
is
than,
far too glossy.
Just far too plasticky.
Plastic. That was terrible, wasn't it? Like, it just wasn't nice.
Yeah. I think they've learned from that, you know, even the grey Joy-Cons, and let's say look in the comment,
it's
you know,
matte
the
plastic,
matte, the matte
it?
Plastic. It just looks
stylish.
A lot more,
it feels like you can sit in your living room with all your iPhones and smartphones and all that, and it doesn't look out of place. Where the Wii U looks like a kid's toy, which is fine, but you know, this one feels more special.
Yeah. I don't know, it didn't feel, the Wii U wasn't tactile in the way that the Switch is, though. Like a good toy, which is, let's face it, that's what Nintendo is. It's a toy maker.
Now we're talking.
That
you're talking
is
my language.
Its heritage. The Wii U wasn't a good toy because it didn't feel like something. It was a bit of an arse to pick up and play with, wasn't it, really? Whereas a Switch, that's the whole thing. You can use it in your TV. You can use it on the go. You won't feel like a prat doing either, and it will work pretty well in both ways. So.
I'm weirdly happy that there's no stylus. That sounds like a weird thing, but like there's something about a stylus with touchscreens that just feels slightly like old.
Did you play that Kirby?
Yeah, and the Rainbow Curse.
Yeah, I mean it was good, but I didn't want to use the stylus for another game.
That to me is a developer looking at it and being told, can you maybe work in the stylus? A lot of people don't want to use the stylus. So they go, you've got to use the stylus now. So.
Well, I mean, Mario Maker, obviously, you know, is
yeah,
is
it had a purpose, but I don't miss it. I don't miss it. Like, you want it to be, like your phone again, you want it just to be there. Yeah. You don't want to have extra things to get to your
I wonder if we'll see a Mario Maker or something on the Switch. Surely that will come.
I can't believe it's not built
over.
In. Maybe I'm just living in an older time, but to me, it was such a success and such a good idea. And then it came out on 3DS. Why not just build it in?
Yeah.
I get it because you want to make money, but I just find it bizarre that it wasn't one of those things that this is a great concept that can figuratively just go on forever.
Yeah.
Mario doesn't get boring, so it's just there. And I think, I don't need to talk about the price now, maybe you do, I don't know, but it may have made people feel a bit better about it.
Yeah.
So there's a big hoorah about it.
We can definitely talk a little bit, like, you know, because it's out there as of this morning, you know, a little bit about, like, because we're all into it, but we work in this industry, you know, and we're lucky we get, you know, access to stuff and we get to play around with these wonderful things. But, you know, if I'm putting £280 or £279.99, whatever it is in the UK on the line, you know, do you think that people are really getting value for money right now from it?
I think
there's a lot lined up, isn't there? But it's not here yet.
I think it's a better value proposition than the PS4 Pro, which I bought myself, and I'm wondering why I did that. It's £350 for a console.
Because it's a shiny new thing.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a console which does slightly better looking games than the old console.
I bet Horizon looks really good on it though, right?
Yes, it does. But this, as soon as you see it, you know where your money's gone, because it's like you can basically deassemble the whole thing, reassemble it into a Joy-Con grip and all that kind of stuff. And it's got that magic of the pick up and play thing. I think the price is an issue though, because for, I guess, mainstream consumers, if they're going to look at it sitting on a store shelf in Game or Tesco's or whatever, those Xbox One S and PS4 Slim are like £220 each, and this is at least £50 more.
It's nudging more.
With no game built in.
Software, yeah. I think what would have been good, I remember the Wii U did a scheme, not at launch, but probably not long after, where like... If you bought like, I think it was like a premium pack, I think it maybe came with Mario Kart or something. So it was when Mario Kart launched, and it was like, but if you buy Mario Kart or like one of these games, you can then download a free game as well. Because I downloaded Pikmin 3. I was like, awesome.
Did I as well. Yeah.
I'm not saying they needed to necessarily do that, but like you're saying, like having something there would have been good. Like, let's say you bought the Switch and Zelda, but that gave you £20 off on the eStore or something, eShop.
Yeah, I think
that'd
be
cool.
But at the same time, I'm all right with the price, just because I do agree with your point, Rob, about if you're a consumer in Tesco, especially, you know, your everyday supermarket, and you see three consoles, go for the cheaper one. That's just what people do.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think from a Nintendo perspective, it's only fair and right of them to look at it and go, I mean, it depends how you define generations these days. But they are old-gen consoles. We're new. We've just come out. Yeah. You can't take them on the go, blah, blah, blah. So in that sense, and in a world where everybody wants to be the iPhone or a smartphone, which costs... I know it's different because you negate the price because you pay monthly.
Two, three times as much, isn't
it? Exactly. Yeah. But that, you know, that makes it feel special and exciting. And I do think it's only fair that it comes out at more than an Xbox One and PS4, just because, again, you can argue this either way, but for my money... Not literally this case, but it's only fair because you know when the Scorpio comes out or whatever, that's not going to go, well, we'll just charge £200.
It's going to be an expensive console.
It's going to cost loads because they see it as, right, this is technology redefining itself and it's new and it's exciting and it's special. And for that, I think it should be more expensive than Xbox One. And
also the aspect of, like you're saying, it's a new console, but by the time it's Christmas, when you've got Zelda, Mario Kart,
Splatoon,
Super Mario Odyssey on the console, there is no way that there at least won't be a pack-in game with that.
Well, someone here, like I was talking to this morning, a little look at it, and you're like, well, should I buy one? Should I not? I'm like, to be honest, I would genuinely say to people, like, you know, unless you're a Super Nintendo nerd, do hold off a little bit and just see what bundles happen, see what like individual retailers do. They might do some kind of reward scheme sort of thing.
Yeah, that was our review on stuff. We gave it 4 stars and basically...
Oh, so you reviewed the console?
Yeah, as a piece of hardware. That's
4 out of 5, that is.
Four out of five,
From 4 out of 10.
So what loses the star for you then from a Because Stuff Review, it's like tech magazine.
Yeah, right? It's the world's best-selling gadget magazine.
Is it really?
And it's on sale in newsstands right now with Switch on the cover. Plug over.
There you go. Well, you know, this is it's good timing, really. Here we are talking about Switch.
Yeah,
you've
exactly.
got the Switch out. You've got it out in time. Well done.
Yeah, it's the same day as launch. So yeah, hopefully that will do well.
Not like, but generally, not like Edge with their Zelda review, which of course came out early.
That was really... really strange. Anyway, no, let's not cast aspersions. So what holds the hardware back? I think it's the games. And I say this as someone who bought the Wii U on launch day. It's like, you don't know what games the console is going to have. This year, I think it's actually a relatively strong lineup for games. If you like Nintendo games, and by Christmas, there will be enough to be getting on with. But... like for Wii U, you don't know in a year's time, in 2018, third-party support could have just completely flopped. So if the same thing happens...
Because there was good Wii U third-party support early doors. I mean, all right, you were looking
exactly.
at... I think Warner's did Batman, didn't they?
Yeah, you had Assassin's Creed, you had FIFA, and you've got relatively similar... Like, you've got Skyrim, you've got FIFA again for Switch. I'm sure that there'll be a couple of other things announced at E3 as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, otherwise it's just niggles, like probably the built-in, the hidden cost really. So you're going to want a pro controller, really.
Yes,
if you're playing from home, and that's 65 quid. You're going to want a micro SD card for it because the storage is only 32 gig.
Well, it's less than that, isn't it, really? Yeah, I mean, I've had a couple of updates and it's down to 24 or something.
So you're going to need that. And then kickstand's a bit flimsy, isn't it? So
it really is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's going to... I know they do say, though, and again, it's not a visual medium podcast, but they do say that just, if you knock it down, that will just come off. Then you can put it back in, but I'm not going to test
ideal,
it.
It's not ideal, is it, really?
Yeah. By the way, if you break it, it goes back together.
They planned it for you breaking it.
We decided to build it so it can break, but don't worry, it also can be reassembled.
Yeah,
so don't worry about it.
It's a bit of a funny one, but I mean, again, it comes back to the... It's just slotting it into the dock, isn't it? And
generally the hardware is sound, though. I think for me, personally, it's a console with loads of potential. I just hope that potential is fulfilled over... the next 3-4 years.
I still think what it's launched with, I mean, I should have looked into this before I've come out and said it, but to me it's comparable to what the Xbox One and PS4 did.
It's much better, arguably. Well,
that's the thing, yeah. I like a big game like Zelda, although I know this got the asterisks over it, but it's also on Wii U, which does impact it a bit, but I do think...
Also, no one bought a Wii U, though, so...
Yeah, that's true, exactly. So it makes sense to do that. But that is a massive game to launch with. Like, that to me is... The only thing Nintendo could launch with bigger is a Mario game.
Oh, people are saying, there's a very obvious reason why they haven't stacked it with games, because they've got the game of the year.
Yeah, exactly.
Right there.
It's just got tens across the board. So let's say Mario Odyssey came out today as well. Arguably, one of them would suffer.
That's
madness. Or you could say, but it would sell even more. But I don't necessarily think that it would.
No, I don't think that's true. They're holding... They've got the early adopters now, and they've got... Yeah. I mean, apparently Mario is finished.
I've heard this word on the street.
Yeah. I bet it is. Like, why...
Do you side them with this idea that, like, this is almost like a soft launch for the Switch?
No, yeah, I think it is. I think it's smart as well, because, like, not everyone is comments on YouTube comment sections. I don't think they know their business strategy, basically. Like, it's the best way to do it. It's a kid's console at the end of the day. They're going to need to target that younger audience.
How dare you?
And that is when parents are going to buy a new expensive thing for their kids.
To be fair, at Christmas, if it's going up against the PS4, which maybe they've had for a few years.
Exactly.
And the Scorpio, which is like, no way you're having that, son. Suddenly the Switch becomes this.
But also,
we'll have a go on that.
Nintendo are the masters of making things seem family friendly as well.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm a parent that doesn't know a lot about video games, I'm pretty sure I can research the Xbox One and within 5 minutes go, nope. Imagine you watch Gears of War 4, you're not playing that. But then you watch Zelda and, like, he's cooking mushrooms and, you know, he's doing all these kind of...
Zelda's even a PEGI 12, isn't it?
That's true. And it is a hard game. I imagine a kid
would get... a paraglider in it, you know. Don't actually jump off cliffs, kids, with, like, a fucking T-shirt.
But it does look like a very accessible, family-friendly, lovely console. And obviously Nintendo will push the whole, well, you don't need a handheld because it is a handheld as well.
For 3DS has sold really well. So... there is, from that audience who will have had a 3DS for a couple of years, the upgrades, that can be kind of pushed.
It hits both kind of audiences, which is kind of crossover.
That's the other thing
anyway
about it as well. It's just not just a successor to the Wii U, it's a successor to the 3DS. Yeah. Because I mean, I say this and every time in the back of my head goes, I don't know. But if in a year, 18 months time, Nintendo go, here's the successor to the 3DS, I'm like, how much stuff do you want me to carry around in my daily life? So that makes me think they won't do it. But then my business mind goes, I bet they come up with something.
3DS has got some years yet, hasn't it? I mean, they have announced that they're very enthusiastically still developing for the 3DS.
I hope they are.
That's only because people are still buying it, and mainly because of Pokemon.
Well, I was going to say, Sun and Moon last November, wasn't it? I think it just sent 3DS sales crazy. Like, I think it was their biggest year since launch. Must have been.
It would make sense.
In terms of hardware. Yeah. Certainly that game became like their fastest selling 3DS game or handheld game ever in the US or something.
It also depends what they're going to, because obviously you can call it a home console, the Switch this is, or you can call it a portable console.
What would you call it though, Simon?
I don't know. This is the thing. I don't know how they see it, because there are some 3DS experiences that I love and I'd be happy for them to start working those up on the Switch, but maybe they do want to keep it very distinct, and that's fine with me as long as I keep getting, like Link to the Past. What was the good one? Link Between Worlds.
Oh, well, 3DS.
Yeah, 3DS is one of the best games I've literally ever played.
No reason why that's great.
Well, that's the thing. If they want to make a successor to that and put it on the Switch, absolutely fine. But if they also want to make it for 3DS, I'm cool with that as well, as long as those experiences keep coming out.
We've seen those series within franchises go across platforms. I remember because Luigi's Mansion was on the GameCube. That was a launch title on the GameCube, wasn't it? And then, of course, Dark Moon, wasn't it, called on the 3DS?
I mean,
there's two points I want to pick up on then, really. Like, you know, one, like, what do we think this is? Like, is it a home console that you can take with you, which some of the TV advertising says, or is it the portable that you take home with you, which weirdly, one of their emails this morning said, like, a portable revolution or something. So where is it for you? Because, I mean, I read a few pieces, you know, obviously early doors, we were very like, oh, this is a home thing that you can also take on the move. But I don't know, it does feel more handheld-y.
A lot of people, through the means of social media, keep going, I haven't even plugged my Switch into a TV yet.
Yeah, we had a piece on Motherboard that said the same thing. Yeah. Like, guys just playing it, like, taking it to bed with him and stuff. Like, that's what you want.
I think that's what I do as well. I really do, because it's just the ease of you. I probably have my TV on for background ambience.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And then just playing my Switch, because that is a nice way. I also, as weird as this sounds, because obviously, you know, kids will love it as well, but it is a very nice thing for an adult to do, which sounds strange, but it's just that it's kind of like, well, it's just there, it's accessible, you know, there's the ease of use.
Just have a bit of football on in the background.
Well, that's what I mean. That's I like doing stuff like that. I can watch WrestleMania and play
Zelda,
the Legend of
Zelda.
Zelda
on this one. like The Rock or whoever's a wrestler these days. Who's a wrestler? Who's a good wrestler these days?
Kevin Owens.
Seth Rollins.
There you go. There's two brilliant
ones. They're good,
right?
Are they?
Yeah.
Feel free to email in if those guys are shit. I have no idea. I did watch SummerSlam a couple of years ago, and I must admit, I had no idea what was going on, but it was a lot of fun.
I'd love to... Anyway, that's a different
story. It was a different story. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I feel like I haven't got a case for it yet. You know, I mean, a lot of it is going to come down to like exactly what the battery's like. So playing Zelda for like 45, 50 minutes on the train this morning, like it's taken a clear wedge.
I got 3 hours out of it.
You've 3 hours is life.
Yeah. Till it died, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I did a couple of battery tests on it for review purposes.
Before your hardware review.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, 3 hours is basically the benchmark. But important thing to remember, that will go down after...
Exactly.
Because the capacity will naturally lower over the course of its life.
So if you've had one of these for a couple of years...
Yeah, you're going to be looking at 2.5, maybe.
Then. Do you think that'll lead to some sort of... You could replace the battery somehow?
It's easy enough to replace, but yeah, I don't know. It's like iPhones, isn't it? You can't replace the battery on those, but if it's so terrible, they tend to just replace the heart. I think that is a problem Nintendo will deal with in the future.
Yeah. When the Switch Lite just magically comes out after 2 years.
There you go, the Switch SI or whatever. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That'd be good. Switch SI. I mean, so it's neither here nor there. It's both places and we like that.
I think that's why it's so great. And that's why you can... Because, I mean, Skyrim at 60 quid is nuts. But
is that what's going to retail?
Well, that's what they're saying.
It won't. But like they've got, you know, Just Dance on the eShop right now is 50 quid.
Well,
that's Nintendo's eShop though, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, which is nuts at the best of times. Yeah,
but there is still that argument of it's old. It is old, but it's great, and you can now take it on the go. The go is the constant selling point. You can keep running home.
I've never played Skyrim So for me, it's like...
This takes me back to the kind of second point I wanted to make about like what the launch lineup is. Because like you know, you sort of said then, oh, the launch lineup's a bit thin. they announced a lot. I guess your hardware review was done to make print a while ago. Because they
I did that this week.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
And it's out already?
The magazine doesn't have a review, but
I see. So that's online. I thought, crikey, you've turned that. Your printers are amazing.
No, 3 days
like, in the basement. It's just like whipping them. Just like we need stuff on the shelves. But yeah, and there's 18 games available at launch as of March 3rd.
Yes, but that went up really quickly because when that review, it was 12.
This is
and
what
then
I'm saying,
within
yeah.
like 2 days.
Well, they announced one on Wednesday, didn't they? I can't remember what it was.
Well,
now.
They moved Snipperclips came forward, didn't it? Shovel Knight, I'm only counting that once, although I realise there's two.
Remix, is it? Or GMX?
As far, I'm not sure that's out just yet. There's a bunch of Neo Geo arcade games if you're into that kind of old stuff. There's a version of Othello. You want to play Othello on your Switch?
Absolutely.
Why not? But it's 18 in total. And like you're saying about, oh, I haven't played Skyrim. I haven't played Shovel Knight still. I'm thinking, that looks like a good system.
There are a lot of games though, Mike, so you can probably
feel okay. There are a lot of
games.
Yeah. I've never played a Half-Life. Don't tell anyone. I'll be fired.
don't play it.
Don't bother.
Another podcast, but don't overrated. Bother. But we don't need to talk about that right now. That's also the end of my life.
If you look back, I mean, what are the main games right now? You got 1-2 Switch,
which
Bomberman.
Is good.
One Two Switch is good.
Have you played Bomberman as well?
I've played a bit of Bomberman.
Yeah, it's quite fun.
I'm looking forward to playing it in multiplayer because the perspective of the single player where they got that slight isometric slant, fuck that. Because the amount of times I put my bomb in the wrong place and the first few stages of that single player in Bomberman, like just, I don't know whether it's my TV or like, maybe I haven't actually played it on, I played that on the TV, that mode, but just trying to tell where the little squares were, I was just like, nah.
I actually haven't played I'd done the complete opposite to you. I got in and played multiplayer with other people and
you can set multiplayer up or like as it kind of classic Bomberman still just against the computer and that's fine. That works great. That is exactly as it needs to be. It's fast and hilarious and just, you know, it's Bomberman. And that's awesome. But yeah, the poor... I'll see if I go back to the story mode, but I wasn't really vibing it. But yeah, so Zelda, 1-2 Switch, Bomberman,
Shovel Knight versus
Snipperclips is kind of...
They're pushing it because they think it's the way to show off what you can do.
Yes, of course. Well, that's
with the console.
Hardware.
Same with 1-2 Switch. I think they kind of... to me, Snipperclips should have been involved with 1-2 Switch. That should have just been one package. Yeah. I don't know why that's a separate game. But I think they see it as important because it is their demo. I mean, to say it's not a full game, but to say, look, this is what the Switch
can do. Wii
Sports
was a demo game, and that was pretty
of
good.
Of course it was. Yeah, but it came with it.
Yeah. It's their Wii Sports, I think. It says 1-2 Switch, which is why I think it should have all have been...
It's just like, you know, when you buy the, what's it called, the PlayStation VR, you get the VR Worlds in it, which is amazing. Again, it's just demoing stuff, really, but it's great fun. And my kids love that. And my kids, they were... Like, they got really into 1-2 Switch, some of those games.
I can imagine. The marble one.
Marble
rolling
is
excellent.
The shooting the guns, obviously.
Of course,
because
the gorilla one is also brilliant.
We did the gorilla one, I had to tell one of them to calm down a bit because he was actually banging it against his chest. Like, it says on the thing, don't actually hit your chest. 1-2 Switch is, I think it's better than, it's not 40 quid's worth, but it's better than maybe what some of us expected.
It's a lot of fun for what it is.
Yeah.
I think you could sell people on the Switch if they come around your house and they play 1-2 Switch as well.
I've literally had that, It was part of the review. I got people around and like before they were like, I haven't had a Nintendo console in ages. And then you play 1-2 Switch, it's like, that's why I like Nintendo.
That's
great.
It's
instantly fun as well. There's no build. You just click your fingers. Oh, I'm having a great time.
Yeah, exactly.
Incredible.
Exactly. You get it straight away. It's really good. But like, but 18 games total. You compare to, I've written figures down here. Do you know how many the SNES launched with? The Super Nintendo.
Six.
Three.
Damn
it. It was N64 was three as well.
N64 launched with three.
But this is the world we live in. People have forgotten.
The GameCube launched, see if you can spot a theme, with three. Wii U and the Wii had a lot more, but you know.
GameCube was Luigi's Mansion, wasn't it?
GameCube was Luigi's Mansion. I've written it down here. Wave Race and Monkey Ball.
They're three good games.
Yeah.
Well, Wave Race Blue Storm, though, wasn't it? I think on GameCube.
Well, the legacy.
Hard.
Yeah, it was. The legacy of the franchise means it's.
I'm trying to remember
good.
What N64. Obviously, N64 was Mario Pilot Wings, maybe.
Yes, I think that was Red Dead.
And SNES was definitely Mario Super Tennis and F-Zero. Those were all when they first came out, anyway, because we got a worldwide launch. It's really funny when you look back at how consoles used to come out. Like, the GameCube was pretty much available in Japan like a year before it was.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? And
you're
then
like,
eventually...
I want that. Carry handle. I want that in my house. Whoever took their GameCube out holding it by the carry handle, what was that about?
Handle,
but again, it goes back to that top. Well, you know, well-designed toy thing, I guess. You know, Rich Stanton wrote a great piece on Kotaku. I don't know if either of you saw it the other day.
About how fun, yeah.
About talking about the buttons, about the SNES eject button. Like, you don't need that.
Yeah.
But Nintendo, like, well, with Mega Drive, you just pull it out. That's not the experience we want. We want that kind of, like, more touchy-feely thing. So I think the point there is, like, you know, I don't think that historically, in terms of launch lineup, it's that bad. You've got, like...
people who are going to buy the Switch at launch are going to buy the Switch at launch anyway.
Yeah, that's, this is true.
That's what needs bearing in mind, I think.
It does need bearing in
and
mind.
And it has Zelda on it.
Well, I'm like, glad you mentioned that.
The power of Zelda should not be overlooked. So you can have your big... AAA super game, and then, oh, look, you've got all these cool games underneath that you can just toy around with as and when, and they'll be there for the duration of the life, you know, console's life. So, and I think that's a smart way to launch a console. Well, if you launch, like you say, Zelda, Mario, I don't know, another Pikmin game, all of a sudden it's like, what do we do in a year? Like, we lost everything.
Yeah.
So I did some research about this, and the last time Nintendo launched 3D Zelda and the 3D Mario at the same time was on the GameCube. So that's like over 10 years ago. So it's not... They are bringing out the big guns.
So Sunshine
early.
And Wind Waker, I guess.
Yes, that'd be it, yeah.
Both the kind of black sheep of their relative families in a way. I know Wind Waker has taken on a...
Wind Waker
kind of a new
is
life.
Probably one of my favourites. Yeah.
But it was kind of viewed with suspicion, wasn't it, when it came out?
Yeah.
I remember that. And Sunshine has never been anyone's favourite
Mario,
Sunshine. Was it?
I think it's great.
I think it's fine.
Oh, there's a different...
Was it called Flood?
Is it the Flood, your backpack.
Your water cannon.
He's your best
nonsense.
Mate.
The best bit was of that game where you didn't have the backpack.
You took the backpack away, it was really good. You had these levels, vortex levels, where you had to just do straight up Mario platforming.
That was from Super Mario Galaxy, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I wonder how much of Sunshine was like... Not in retaliation to, but certainly in being aware of like Rare and Banjo-Kazooie and those kind of like team up.
I'd say heavily influenced like that, because it does have a different feel to it, but it's still, I still got, what do I know?
Yeah. It's funny, I was listening to a different podcast the other day and they were talking about Yoshi's Island on the SNES, wasn't it?
Mm.
And how that was very clearly Nintendo's kind of response to Donkey Kong Country being like all like, realistic-ish, you know, like, no, we're going totally the other way. Like, screw you, Rare. We're going to make it the most cutesy, cartoony game we can. But yeah, I mean, this Zelda then, we've seen the tens come in for it. It's apparently in Metacritic's top five of all time.
Does that actually mean anything?
Beside Tetris, presumably, and I don't
Mario
know,
64
2
yeah.
or something. I'm not sure what's right up there. Probably a GTA, isn't it? I don't know. Yeah, that's kind of a good start, though, isn't it? Bloody hell. I mean, I've written down here, you know, is Zelda already the game of the year, the greatest Zelda ever? Question mark. I mean, what do we think?
I think the coolest thing about it is that it is essentially a remake of the original. That's what I love about it so much. In the sense,
really thought of it like that.
But in the sense, the original, it was just like, old man, here's a sword. See you later.
Yeah.
This one's the same.
This gives you a paraglider.
Yeah,
though,
exactly.
You know?
But it's like, go wherever you want. There's no boundaries. Yeah. I mean, obviously there's some dungeons you can't access because there's a narrative in place that will unlock things. But in terms of exploring, and yeah, you need different equipment, but just go anywhere.
But you did in the original Zelda. There were some
That's what I mean. That's
that you,
why it feels like just a remake of that, because, you know, many people would argue the original Zelda is the original open world game.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what they've done here. So it's almost like they've reset it, but they've reset it back to what it was, but then changed that Zelda template that we all got used to. So it's this weird amalgamation of both old and new. And I think that's why it's so good, because Zelda fans that have, you know, they're always there. I want something different. Give me something different. Mm. They've done that, but they've managed to do that by keeping the foundations exactly the same. Yeah. And I think that is just absolute genius. And I think that's why it's so good. Because like an old friend that's got facial... reconstructive surgery, so it's completely different.
You're looking good for someone who's, you know, 30 something years later. But it's, I mean, I wrote about like when we were allowed to do our impressions before the reviews dropped and everything, and I wrote like, it does feel like the game that's kind of tapped back into that original inspiration Miyamoto had of going out and adventuring and exploring. You know, Wind Waker, well, we don't have ships readily available often, you know. This one does feel like you can do anything and there could be anything over there.
And you make your own story from it. That's the important thing for me about it. There's just been so many moments, and we were talking about a couple of them before the podcast started, but just so many moments which just come out of nothing because of the physics system and the way that enemies and characters interact with it. It's just brilliant.
Yeah, there's a lot of not hand-holding. You know what I mean? That there's not a lot of hand-holding in there.
Why don't you go over there? And that's as much as you get,
yeah,
basically.
Right. Like maybe you could check that out, but I won't remind you about it later.
No.
I mean, Austin in the US, like he finished it. And I don't know whether it was just after finishing or just before finishing. Like he just met a guy he'd not met before. And he was like, oh, something over in this village. And he was like, shit, there's like whole bits of this world I haven't even been to yet.
It's massive.
And I had a bit like that. I remember the games are not alike, but I can see why anyone would say they were a little bit like Witcher 3, where like I'd finished that and I just went to an island in Skellige that I'd never been to before. Yeah, I was like, holy shit, there's like four other missions here, four other quests that I'd never done before. And I really love it. And I know now because Nintendo have confirmed they're going to do story DLC for this, which doesn't surprise me in the slightest. You build a world like this that big.
They're going to milk it, aren't they?
Are we comfy with that? It doesn't feel very Nintendo-y, but at the same time, if it's... I think it's like £20 or something. It's not
just the
loads
way the
of money.
World is,
yeah, I think it's only fair. They're allowed to do it for everybody else's.
And you kind of think that they'll do it well. You know,
yeah, there are DLC. The Mario Kart DLC was good.
The Splatoon DLC
was free, but it was also good.
That's like, all cosmetic stuff, right? Wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there's no reason. I don't know. I'd probably be more annoyed if they did Mario DLC because it would feel like just levels that they had.
So they do like
left
Mario
over.
Odyssey, the lost levels kind of thing.
Yeah. But I think.
Go into that.
It's just to me, the game is so big and there's so much there already that you're not really missing out if you just ignore the DLC. And I think that's the key. DLC should feel like additional stuff as opposed to, oh, you're missing out on the real game.
Yes.
And there's so much in Breath of the Wild. I can't believe anyone's not going to feel like they didn't get their money's worth.
It's interesting you say about the DLC because some criticism Capcom had recently with Resident Evil 7 was like, crikey, that DLC's come out quick.
Yeah, because.
Like
I wonder why that is.
You know. It's not a short game though. It's not, you know, there's a lot in there, I think. But.
It's like, I mean, DLC that is worse when it's used as a marketing tool. I can entirely understand why that's the case. But with Resident Evil 7, you had previews, everyone was hyped for it. Then you had reviews and then you had the 2 week cycle when everyone was relatively positive about it. And then you had the DLC come through. So it's constantly in the news and constantly bumping their sales. Nintendo, at least when the good stuff arrives, the story DLC, it'll be December, arguably when they're just going to pack that game in with a Switch around Christmas. But it's not like they're artificially holding stuff back, you feel.
Yeah. It's I mean, thinking about it more positively, that Resi DLC, I mean, it's been a really good year with really strong games. So for them to have good DLC just a few weeks after sort of saves them from being drowned by
it keeps
Neo
you
and you know, Yakuza 0 and stuff.
Yeah.
We can talk more about we can talk about Zelda all day, but you know, I'm aware of the time and stuff. And what do you think, I suppose, before we move on from Zelda and Switch, I mean, beyond this then, what do you see as being the essential bits of software for the Switch that have to happen? They have to happen good. Like, I mean, Mario Kart Deluxe, that's cool, but it's not a system seller, is it? It's Mario, isn't it?
It's great, though. I played it. It's so good.
Oh, I played it at the Nintendo event.
It's so good. I know it's just Mario Kart, but Mario Kart is this game that... I mean, they should really make Netflix for Mario Kart because what they've built is perfect. So just keep releasing tracks every few weeks because it's just... You don't need to tweak it. So to me, it's a massive deal. I know you already got it with Mario Kart on the 3DS, but being able to take is very exciting. For me, that's probably what I'm most excited about.
Mario Kart 8... I absolutely caned when that came out on the Wii. Like every night, 2 or 3 hours playing online. So to take that with me, albeit not online, you know, on the move, will be great.
Absolutely.
I think they need a good third-party exclusive, better, like along the same lines as Bayonetta 2, probably with a bit more mainstream appeal, though. Mm. They're probably just going to need Call of Duty and FIFA coming through. But in terms of Nintendo stuff, if I had to bet, I'd say that they'll do a big re-release next year, like a remaster or something. So, if Mario's out Christmas, some sort of...
Metroid.
What are the odds? Yeah.
A Metroid
or... what are the likelihood of them redoing Ocarina of Time in...
It's got to happen eventually, right?
You'd
think.
Those remakes are all over YouTube, aren't they, when they do them in 4K or whatever. So demand Unreal is Engine obviously 4, et cetera, yeah. there. It's easy headlines for them. Mm. And how hard would it be to make? Probably not too hard.
I don't know. I mean, Ocarina, I mean, again, you mentioned Half-Life there. I've only ever dipped my toe in Ocarina for about 2 hours, which is really bad, isn't it? But I think that's because I don't have it on 3DS.
Yeah.
I've got Majora's Mask on 3DS, which is amazing. But I've never had Ocarina on 3DS, but I've got it on the GameCube disc still, you know, that came with Wind Waker.
Yeah, yeah, that was how I first played it. Yeah.
So that's the only way I've got it at the minute. So maybe if they did remaster that, I'd be all over it, yeah. 100%.
I think they need to hit up their old, we mentioned it briefly, the franchises. I think it needs a Metroid.
Balloon Fight.
I'd whip F-Zero.
F-Zero, come yeah. on. Yeah.
I'd whip F-Zero out because it's not going to do great numbers, but the... Yeah. You know, just the goodwill you'll get from Nintendo fans will be through the roof.
Well, people are keen on an F-Zero, but I think Nintendo's word on it is like, what more could we do? Like, kind of, because it was GX on the GameCube.
Do more of it. Yeah, awesome. Just give me more like Mario Kart. I love your little floaty, weird, spinny game. Just give me more tracks with awesome music.
So more tracks. Yeah, I mean, you've got the Fast Remix, haven't you, coming out? So that's going to be...
It's not the same, though. It's like Wipeout. It's good, but it's not F-Zero.
It's not F-Zero.
So that's what I think third-party-wise, as long as they can go... And it's okay if they're Switch versions as well.
Yeah.
So I know EA said FIFA's going to be... They kind of hinted that it'll be a Switch version.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because even if it does say it doesn't have X mode, whatever, you can go, okay, it doesn't have this mode, but you can take it on the go.
Well, imagine, though, if you had FIFA on the Switch without Ultimate Team.
Well, I think that'll be in it.
I mean,
just it'll more be like the career mode or whatever.
Yeah, but that's fine, because if that's not there, which I do enjoy the career mode in FIFA, but if that's not there... As long as EA and Nintendo, which they can go, yeah, but you can't take it on the go on any other console. That to me goes, well, that's like for like, actually, because basically, really all I want to do in FIFA is play exhibition matches, really, or go online with
it. Yeah, exactly.
So if I can go commute to work and play the FIFA that plays like the Xbox One and the PS4, but it's fine. And that's a huge plus point for getting it on the Switch, and that's all it needs.
Take your Luton Town on the move.
Luton
Town are in FIFA, are they?
They are in FIFA.
Are they?
Are they? I don't
how
know.
Deep does it go?
I don't know. How deep does FIFA go? I never played them.
Well, it goes down to League 2. Where are Luton these days?
Yeah. They're FIFA's in. Yeah, I never play as them because I don't like torture, but they're in there, yeah.
Just to fire up, well, Aldershot wouldn't be in there. No, that is a league lower, isn't it? Cool. Resi, obviously you mentioned Resi there. Did you guys feel that this has been a particularly strong start, you know, Switch included? I can see it on an advert on the Tv over there, on Viceland as an advert for the Switch.
It's been a weird year, I think.
It's been good. It's been busy, hasn't it?
Yeah, but it's like there are a few sort of tentpole releases and then it goes real quiet again.
Month, right, in the space of a couple of weeks, you've got Horizon Zero Dawn, Zelda, Mass Effect, Ghost Recon Wildlands. Yeah. At least two of those titles are going to sink.
At least two of them don't have colons where they should have colons. This is well worth pointing out.
That is the bigger issue.
Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Wildlands. no colon officially any of that.
It's coming out a weird time, that is. I wouldn't release it now.
It's pretty stacked, isn't
it? For Honor as well.
For Honor, which...
For Honor's really good. Who knew? For Honor is a really good video game. I haven't liked an Ubisoft game in a long time, but that is a great video game.
It has rated quite highly, actually. We had a couple of pieces running the site. I mean, I say this week, and by the time this is out there and you're listening to it, it'll be the week before. I'm very distracted by the fact that Vice News is genuinely showing a big piece on the Switch over there, look, on the screen. There it is. But I was reading about it, and I was like, this sounds ridiculous, but also testing. And like, you know, because I'm one of these games media pricks, I've got a code. I've got a code just sat at home. I should just give it a go.
It will surprise you. The learning curve is horrendous. But once you start getting it, oh my gosh, is it satisfying.
Yeah.
I don't know how long I'll be able to play it till I get a bit bored.
Yeah.
But in terms of a game and a concept, it's wonderful.
Well, I guess it gets better if you come up against people, because it's all about online. Weren't they trying to do tournaments with it?
I think so. There's a meta game in there, so you're constantly fighting a war. I don't understand all that, but it's very impressive. So that's the kind of stuff you want. You want to get online, you want to get your mates involved, and if it can do that and can build up a nice community, that can go for a while.
It's nice to see a good new IP as well, really, isn't it?
Very true, very true. I mean, what would be your, Neo as well, you know, came out, Team Ninja's game, which has done fairly well. I mean, I'm useless at it.
I've kind of held off on those massive games because I knew Zelda was coming. And
That's a fact. You know, I've played quite a lot of Horizon, and I do really enjoy Horizon, actually. I don't veer as high as some of the 9s and 10s in the score front, but I really do like it. It's not doing anything radically new. But I mean, what would be, Zelda aside, which I think is genuinely the best game I've played so far this year. Like, what would be like, what's your number two, if you will, Rob? What is your number two?
In all honesty, I've kind of spent, can I say Doom? Because I was catching up. And
you can say Doom, because Doom is great. Yeah.
But and I've started Resident Evil, probably Resi 7, to be honest with you. Yeah, that was the one I started. And
which almost feels like a new IP, the way it is. You know?
Yeah, they completely reset it, and it works really well, doesn't it? I mean, just, it's terrifying, which is what a Resi Evil game should be compared to.
I found some of it quite funny. How deep? No spoilers. So how deep are you?
Not that deep. Oh, right. I'm taking it slow because there's only so much my heart can take.
As soon as the daddy brings out some giant scissors, I'm like, I'm on the floor. I'm laughing now. That's it.
It does kind of. It doesn't diminish, that's the poor word, but it's more terrifying at the start.
Yes.
And then but that's the same with any horror movie, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not expecting this. Well, I don't know. I mean, Resi, well, yeah, Patrick wrote an article about how Resi 7 rather falls apart towards the end. But, you know, people replied to him and said, actually, I disagree. You know, this is the wanderer.
In that polite term.
To be fair, people who send us messages to Waypoint are generally very nice. There was one guy, I know he got called out for it, so I don't mind saying it now, but he sent us an email along the lines of like, you were only saying that Zelda is better than Horizon because it says Zelda on it. And you automatically just think Zelda games are great, and you're like, all right, mate, try to chill out. Horizon's very good as well. I mean I've really enjoyed that, but like, I saw like people like Dan Mayer say, like, tweet, like, this is the strongest like start to a year I can remember for games. It does feel that way,
games,
like you saying about clearing space for Zelda, because it's just so much good stuff out there at the moment.
There's loads of it, and you're right in that there is not much to come in the summer months, is there? I mean, beyond what is coming out in the summer.
I mean, it's this weird, like, big game, then it goes dead for ages.
Mario, Splatoon is August, isn't it, I think?
I suppose I'm just thinking across other consoles, and I really can't. Sea of Thieves, which I'm quite excited about.
Has that got a date?
It's meant to be early summer, isn't it? So I'm expecting it about May, June. It
seems to have been in development for
They'll probably give
years.
It another push at E3 or do it just before, I would have thought. So... yeah, the Sea of Thieves is basically only...
Well, E3 for Xbox will be all Scorpio, won't it?
Massively, they'll go crazy with it.
What are we going to call for that? I reckon new Tomb Raider exclusive.
And, what's going to launch with Scorpio?
And new Halo, that would be my
It has to be a Halo, Yeah, I think Guardians was a disappointment, wasn't it?
Halo the last 3-4 years is kind of... Halo feels like it's peaked for me and now it's on the way back down. Like, it's just, it's lost its allure that it once had.
Yeah, it's so bogged down by its own.
I read how someone was tweeting and they added me in along the lines of like, yo, the games media is biased against Xbox in general. A few weeks ago, I saw this and I was thinking, well, they're not. I use my Xbox a lot for like third party titles. Mm. I mean, I played Doom on my Xbox, for instance, rather than any other platform. But yeah, the exclusives haven't been. I mean, Forza Horizon 3, I loved.
It's amazing.
Loved it. But I'm trying to think
Gears
of
Gears of War 4. Gears of War 4.
It was fine. It was fun.
But it depends how much you love Gears. Yeah. I love Gears of War.
You have
so
to,
me,
you have to have
perfect.
A big gooey spot chainsaw. For Marcus, don't you?
I think Gears of War is one of the greatest games
Xbox
ever.
Xbox is probably the best console for indie games, I'd say. You've got like Superhot, Ori and the Blind Forest, Inside launch with it first.
Yes, of course, it had timed on that, didn't it?
So they've got had some loads of... And they've got Cuphead coming out later this year, so...
if it ever comes out.
I was
going to
say, maybe. We'll see.
And of course, We Happy Few as well, which everyone was kind of buzzing for.
I did not like
some
that.
Some of us played it.
That was awful.
And it wasn't what we thought.
It was so weird. It was just the weirdest... It starts great.
Yeah. The first 15 minutes excellent. Of that game. Yeah. So good, yeah.
And then it goes, oh, you didn't drink, you did.
Yeah, now you're in... You're basically stuck in Welland Garden City, but post-apocalypse or something.
Yeah, I don't understand that game.
But anyway, just before we wrap, I wanted to just... there's a couple of questions from people. Just one quickly that came in kind of to our joint Waypoint account. You can send questions for any podcast to gaming@vice.com, mostly for the US one. They like their questions, but I dip in every now and again. And I thought this was relevant because we're talking about Zelda. Thoughts on weather in games. I've been playing a lot of Horizon. It has very varied weather, you know, snow storms, it whips up the sand in your face. Doesn't actually affect you. Like Aloy will go like, or like, oh, a bit dusty, you know, to herself. It doesn't like bother you. Zelda, you go up to the mountains and you're wearing pants, you're dead. You know, you're wearing a bit of armor, a bit of metal on it in a thunderstorm, you're dead. You know,
it's so true, but people forget Zelda's always done that. Because even in Ocarina of Time, you couldn't go. You couldn't go to Dodongo's caverns unless you had the red tunic.
Right. Okay.
So it is one of those things where people
the fire, are, right? Fire rocks.
That's right. Yeah. But also, I like all that stuff. I think in an open world game where you're trying to build, you're just existing. It's a role playing game. Yeah. I think, especially in the Zelda games, I saw a lot of people going, "Oh, this is. I don't like it. I don't like it." I was like. But it's always done that. You always have to have the relevant colour tunic depending on the environment you're in. So when you go to Zora's, you've got to have your blue tunic and so on and so forth.
To swim up the...
Yeah, but I'm a big fan of... In the right... Because I think Horizon Zero Dawn is not necessarily a game I would want that in, but I enjoy all the weather stuff because it gets me... It immerses me. And it
it's
gets
the
me
realism,
into that world.
Right?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Driving games, for example, they rely on weather to be able to sell them. Like Forza Horizon, like you're talking about earlier.
I think back to racing in the rain in Project Cars when I first did that. I was like, shit.
That's what you want. Yeah, exactly.
Because Drive Club even released weather as a patch, didn't it? Oh, now you've got weather. Sorry, it wasn't there to begin with.
Apologies, we forgot this vital part of our game.
So that's the difference which it makes, especially in like Breath of the Wild, where it's this feels like a real world, even though it's completely stylized and I'm trying to get a magical sword to slay a gigantic spirit beast.
Yeah, like there's a big angry pig.
Yeah, exactly.
That's swarming around a castle. Don't go there straight away, is the recommendation there. Someone else asked, Teddy Grills emailed in to ask, you were talking about Battlefield and then how he sort of fell away from Battlefield 1, didn't get along with it that well. Like, what games, I suppose, that you've loved have you guys said goodbye to, like, no, I'm done now?
Call of Duty, I do that with a lot. I mean, I get my Call of Duty is like an injection of adrenaline with me. Like, it comes out, I love it for about maybe, it used to be a couple of weeks, but now maybe 2-3 days, and I hit my peak with it so quick. I'm like, I'm glad that I played it, but I got to put it away now, I'm done.
Yeah,
maybe 2-3, literally half a week.
I've got to say, that's what I was like with Infinite Warfare, and I really liked playing it at preview and in multiplayer, and when I got it home, maybe a couple of sessions with it.
It's great for maybe a weekend, and then I don't need it anymore. I guess because you're so used to it, you think, I need a bigger drug. it's not giving me the hit that it used to.
I need Doom.
Yeah,
Doom coming back. You know?
Doom
did it.
I think FIFA, the same reason, like you get really good at it and then you realise there are people who are always going to be much better at you at it. Yeah. And then you bottom out of it. I think in terms of games which aren't online based, I'd probably say something like The Witcher 3, where usually I did come back to it, but it was like 3 months. And I wouldn't be surprised if I did do the same with Zelda, just because there's so much to see and it is a bit exhausting to play like a game for, 60, 80 hours? Those kind of open world games are always tend to have a relatively big pause.
I had a Witcher. I mean, Witcher 3 was my game of the year when it came out.
I love
out,
it. It's great.
But I had about a 2 month break, two and a half month break, where I just didn't touch that game. And I came back to it. I knew exactly where I was and what I had to do because it's, it was all logged. I was like, I'm just gonna step away from a bit. And
it makes it better when you come back to it, isn't it? It's like a mid-season break, I suppose, of a TV show.
There you go. And just finally, Vaughan Highfield on Twitter. His question is, first gaming crush. Now, I took that to mean like a game that you just crushed on, but he actually just means a character, which I kind of feel is a month too late because we did our sexy Valentine's one last month with Pete Donaldson and Kate Gray. But, while two red-blooded males are here, why not? Who's your first gaming crush? Is that weird? Is it not gross?
I don't know if
crush
I fancied a video game character.
No. Crush doesn't necessarily mean really fancy, does it? I don't know, like,
Princess Peach, maybe, when I was well young, but I don't think I ever did. I think I was more concerned about just saving her.
Good grief. How young are we talking about?
Steer away from this line of questioning.
God, I don't know. I'd have to remember characters from... I only played Nintendo. I was an exclusive Nintendo player when I was a kid. I'm trying to think about who would have popped up.
Didn't get the special Metroid ending where Samus just dropped her suit. I was like, hey, I was a girl all along.
I was one of those things when that happened. I think for some reason, I think I just assumed she was. I don't know why. I mean, maybe, I don't know. That was it.
Was the getting shit done attitude, I think.
I think so, yeah.
You know, spaceship's all fucked up or whatever. And like, if it was a guy, just like, you know what?
Don't know what I'm doing.
I'm all right with this. Yeah. I'll see how my years here.
It's fine. Just keep the suit
make
on.
The most of it.
Fine. As long as I can. Like, I think in terms of, I don't think I've ever fancied a video game character. Certainly not when I was a kid, because I was trying to figure out whether that's because graphically, like, they just didn't look like people.
The way your imagination could take you, Rob.
Yeah, I just kind of think, like, video game characters are generally quite poorly written. So it's, like, it's hard to kind of fall for that. I mean, I wouldn't blame you if you did, but I just haven't had that experience myself.
I mean, I guess with, you know, obviously Mass Effect is coming up. A lot of people are going to be... rubbing him out to that, I'm sure.
Well, Miranda in Mass Effect 3 is a very well-realised character. I don't want to rub anything out to her, but she's...
same with, like, Triss and that in The Witcher.
What's that?
Same with Triss in The Witcher and that.
In The Witcher, were you Triss or Yen then?
I was Yen.
Oh, there you go, that's the right answer. Yeah. But, otherwise I'll be kicking you off this podcast.
But we've had arguments in the staff office about which to go for in the end. Seems so bizarre. But yeah, they are well-written characters. So you can have that
conversation. There's a lot of lore
about
to draw on with The Witcher, though. We should have a piece on Waypoint soon where we're actually going to talk to Andrzej Sapkowski, who wrote the original books.
Amazing.
I've probably got his name wrong then. He's going to hear this and be like, nope, not doing the interview now.
Pull the piece.
You shitbag. right, but yeah, Simon, thank you.
Thank you,
Rob,
Mike.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
If you've been listening to this and you've got yourself a Switch and you want to tell us about your experiences after a week or so, please do. You can email in, email gaming@vice.com. You can tweet us at Waypoint. You can find us on the internet at waypoint.vice.com. Yeah, we're on that Twitch, we're on that Facebook, all those good things. Rob, where can people find you if they want to follow you and what you're doing at Stuff?
At Rob Leedham. You can also find me in the latest issue of Stuff magazine. And that, I promise that's the last time I'll plug
it. I love the way that when you start doing that, you kind of adopt this little weird sort of like authority, but also nervous swagger.
Do you know what? I've done it.
I shouldn't be saying this.
I've done it before on BBC News, and the presenter at the time gave me such a glare. But
hey, man, you got to get this stuff
exactly.
Got
to get
nervous.
It's
a Twitch thing. Simon, what about yourself?
I'm at SimonMiller316 on Twitter.
It's the 316
like a proper wrestling loser. But I do loads of stuff. But that's the hub. That's the point.
That's a Stone Cold reference.
It is a Stone Cold Steve Austin reference.
You just got it. And I don't even know about wrestling.
But I do loads of stuff.
But you're on the YouTube,
people,
right? As well.
I'm on the YouTube. I'm on, I'm too much on YouTube. Yeah. I need to back off.
I was watching you do the Resident Evil live experience thing the other day. And
that was...
liking how a grown, massive man can be scared by people in makeup.
Absolutely terrified. And there's also videos out there of me playing Resident Evil 7 and literally almost having a heart attack. So you can hunt those down should you so wish.
Hunt them
they
down.
Exist.
Laugh at them. Laugh at how...
And so many people go, oh, it's put on. If only it was put on. My dreams is it put on. I can't stand it.
Cool. Well, again, thanks for listening. Thanks for choosing to listen to the Waypoint UK podcast. We were monthly. We're going to weekly. So we'll be back again in 2 weeks. Tatty byes.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Thank you.